There's probably no psalm better known nor more universally loved than this one. Because of its lack of details, it is impossible to date this psalm or to link it with any specific event. Its general nature, however, helps us to identify with it as it proclaims the depth of personal relationship between the Lord and the believer. It uses the metaphor of the shepherd to speak of God's loving concern for his sheep and the richness of provision he makes for them. You see, this psalm expresses David's confidence in the Lord. Now, I want to consider with you this morning the first four verses only of this psalm, the first four verses only of Psalm 23. And the psalm opens there in verse 1 by David saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Here is the ground of David's confidence, and it was this, that the Lord was not only a shepherd, but the Lord was his shepherd. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Listen to Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He says, "It is well to know, as certainly as David did, that we belong to the Lord." There is a noble tone of confidence about this sentence. There is no if, nor but, nor even I hope so. But he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." If he is shepherd to me, he cares for me, watches over me, and preserves me. The words are in the present tense. Whatever be the believer's position, he is even now under the pastoral care of his Lord. I wonder, you here this morning, and you're somebody who is very familiar with this psalm. I suppose all of us are familiar with this psalm. There was those of us who had to memorize it and recite it at school. We have sung it at funerals. We have turned to this psalm again and again for comfort. But I wonder, can you truthfully say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Or maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, "Well, I hope so." No, we need to know with assurance that the Lord is my shepherd. Do we have that confidence that David had, that the Lord was not only a shepherd, but he could say he is my shepherd? Can we say that with confidence? Then that verse 1 goes on and says, "I shall not want." You see, it is not only "I do not want," but "I shall not want." Isn't that lovely? Isn't that beautiful? In other words, what the psalmist is saying is this: because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall neither want now nor any time in the future. I shall not want anything which is really necessary for me, neither for this life nor for the next. What he's saying is, I shall not want for temporal needs. You see, we may not possess all that we wish for, but we lack no good thing. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, put it this way: more is implied than is expressed. Not only I shall not want, but I shall be supplied with whatever I need. And if I have not everything I desire, I may conclude it is either not fit for me or not good for me. I shall have it, or I shall have it in due time. Contentment is a wonderful thing, isn't it? content with what we have, and to recognize, even as we look back upon last week, we can say, well, the Lord has supplied my every need. I may not have all that I wish, but I have all that I need. Not only in temporal things, but also in spiritual. Because we know that His grace is sufficient. Didn't the Lord say to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The sufficiency of the Lord, the sufficiency of His grace. And therefore we lack nothing spiritually. The Lord is able to meet our need both temporally and spiritually. But this morning I want to look at the ministries performed by the all-sufficient God. And I want to look at three aspects of those ministries. First of all, there in verses 2 through to the first part of verse 3, where we are going to consider the ministry of how the Lord restores our soul. And we read there in verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. These verses are speaking not only of the Lord restoring the backslider, but they speak of refreshment. They speak of rest. You see, there are times as the Lord's people, are there not, when we become weary. Not weary of the way, but weary in the way. And the resting of verse 2 and the refreshment also mentioned there are in order to revive the strength of the sheep who have spent several hours walking in search of pasture and then grazing when it is found. And so it is with the Lord's people. We've got to remember that our journey, our life, our journeys through this life consists of searching for spiritual food, serving the Lord in activities of daily life, and battling against sin, the world, and the devil. And to know this restoration that is spoken of here in the verse 2 and 3. The psalmist reminds us that the Lord, He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He makes us lie down in green pastures. And that is where we can feed upon His word. That is where we can find rest for our souls. And refreshment for our souls. You see, maybe it is today that we're passing through a time where we feel low in grace. We feel that we are spiritually at a low ebb. I wonder, is that you this morning? You're finding yourself to be spiritually at a low ebb. Well, here the Lord brings us to a place of rest, to a place of refreshment. But then He goes on and He says in verse 3, He restores my soul. He restores my soul. And remember, that is a work that the Lord himself will do. Because he says, he restores my soul. That word restore is the word that speaks of quickening or reviving. And yes, a person may recognize that they're backslidden in heart, and they come with that humble and that contrite spirit before the Lord, and they cry to the Lord, asking that the Lord would restore, would revive them. You see, the shepherd not only cares for the sound sheep, but he cares for the sick sheep. Isn't that wonderful? If you're truly the Lord's this morning, and you have backslidden, then take comfort that the Lord is the one who restores our soul, and he does it in his own time and in his own way. Of course, as far as the backslider is concerned, there has got to be remorse. There's got to be repentance, and there's got to be that returning unto the Lord. But I believe that that is the work of God's Holy Spirit, to bring a person to that place. Are you looking for restoration this morning? Are you looking to return unto the Lord? Are you looking for refreshment? Are you looking for rest? We know so well that verse in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And that is true in the life of somebody who is coming to Christ for the first time and seeking rest. But it is also true in the life of the believer. Because that word come is a continual coming. And Christ is the one who will give us rest. The psalmist in Psalm 116, where we read in verse 7 this morning, said, return unto your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. And the psalmist there is speaking to his own soul, and he says, return to your rest. In other words, return unto that rest in the Lord. And so those green pastures, those still waters, speaks of rest, of refreshment, and restoration. Secondly, we notice that the Lord is the one who guides. There in the second part of verse 3. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It really means right paths. Right paths are paths that are right, as opposed to the devious and the dangerous paths. And what we need to remember is this, that those paths of righteousness are not of man, but of God. They're not ways of upright conduct on the psalmist's part, but ways of faithfulness on God's part. When you think about that, there are those who pride themselves in being righteous. And very often that pride of righteousness will lead to strife. I'm currently reading a book on prayer by Thomas Brooks. And in that book, there's a very godly gentleman who said, I fear my closet duties. In other words, I fear my times of prayer more than my sins. Because one makes me proud and the other makes me humble. Now, that's not saying that we shouldn't pray and we shouldn't spend much time in prayer. But if we are considering these paths of righteousness in the light of something that we have got to do and something that we think that we are, then that will lead to pride. But these paths of righteousness speak of the ways of God's faithfulness. You see, the word paths is speaking of well-worn paths. When sheep start to explore new and exciting paths, it will lead them into trouble. Hebrews 13:9 reminds us, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. You see, the Lord takes care of us because He loves us. He wants to lead us in right paths. And notice why He wants to lead us in the right paths. It's for His name's sake. It's for His glory alone. Because He is a faithful shepherd. And that's in every area of our life. We're to look to the Lord for His guidance, that He would guide us in right paths, in the area of marriage, in the area of work, in the area of church life, in right paths. We're familiar, aren't we, with that verse in Proverbs 3:5 that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. There are those who trust in their own understanding, and it gets them into trouble. I once heard a true story of a pastor. He's now well retired. He's in his 80s. But before he was married, he was living in Diggs. And he had a Christian landlady. And this particular week, he suffered the flu. He had about a flu, and a lady from the church thought she would help the pastor out, and she went along to the landlady's house, and she said to the landlady that the Lord had told her to bring this electric fire to aid the pastor's recovery. To which the landlady replied, the Lord told you no such thing, we're all gas. Now you see, we have got to be guided aright. We've got to look into the Word and consider what the Lord is saying to us through His Word. We've got to rely upon the Lord. And so we see that the Lord is the one who guides us. And then thirdly and finally in verse 4, we see the Lord's protection. How the Lord protects. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, this is the central verse of the psalm. And notice the personal pronoun changes from he to you. In verses 1 to 3, the psalmist says this, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. In other words, in verses 1 to 3, the psalmist is speaking about the shepherd. But when we come into verse 4, the psalmist is speaking to the shepherd. Have you ever noticed that? He's speaking to the shepherd. He says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That word, even though, is speaking of extremities. Even though in extremities. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, it's speaking of that dark valley. And he's reminding us that the shepherd is not before us, but he's beside us, leading the way and calming our fears. Now that valley, that speaks of a deep darkness and represents any difficult experience of life that would make us afraid. Bunyan described the valley as a dark, gloomy place. And maybe you're passing through a valley experience at this current time. Here is a word of comfort. Here is a word where I believe we can be helped to be sustained in that difficult time. The psalmist here with confidence says, I will fear no evil. Now he's not speaking about the fact of his own fearlessness. But he's speaking of God's saving care to him. Even at a season when that care might seem no longer available. That's how it appears, isn't it, when we're in times of darkness. When he says, I will fear no evil, he's saying, I will not give way to fears. I will not give way to fears. I find that interesting, and what was an encouragement to me when I was studying this just this past week was this, that I had read this in a commentary. I'd been meditating upon it for a few hours. And later that day, I received a phone call from a very godly gentleman. We were in a conversation about a particular matter. But he said to me, he says, Paul, don't give way to fears. I thought, here's the confirmation for Sunday morning. You see, for the Lord is with us. Present to faith, not to sight. And when it speaks about the shadow of death, let me read this to you, that it does not, as sometimes explained, imply that it is a mere shadow. It speaks of a position surrounded by great trials, especially in the last and most trying of all, the dying hour. And so it's not just simply speaking of death, but it's speaking of a position in life where we are surrounded by great trials. And in those times, we are not to give way to fear. But look what he says. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, the rod was used by the owner for counting in the sheep, which was said, therefore, to pass under the rod. And so, therefore, it cannot be a rod of affliction. For comfort, not chastening, is what is needed when passing through times of darkness. It means that the owner is acknowledging that the sheep belong to him. And isn't that a comfort to us? That his rod is acknowledging that we have the assurance that we belong to him. And the Lord does that by his Holy Spirit confirming that we are a child of God, bearing witness with us that we are a child of God. And of course, it speaks of protection. Because there are times when, in those ravines, in those valleys, the shepherd had to protect the sheep from wild beasts. Now, whether you agree that it is two instruments doing two separate jobs, or you agree with the late Professor Douglas MacMillan, who said that it was one instrument doing the two jobs, it's really immaterial. Why I think I go along with Professor Douglas MacMillan is because that he not only was a professor of theology in the Free Church College in Edinburgh, but he'd also been a shepherd. And he would have said that the day that a shepherd was going to go to the field with two sticks, he suggested it was time for him to stay at home. But of course, we are in Palestine here, and things are different. But isn't it wonderful that in the midst of those dark and trying times, that rod and that staff are badges of the shepherd's presence with us. He is ever present. He is a faithful and covenant-keeping God. And we read there in the prophecy of Isaiah and in chapter 43 and at verse 2, we read these words. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And Hebrews 13:5 reminds us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. You're passing through a valley that is dark and gloomy. You're passing through a time of severe trial. Remember this, that the Lord is ever present, there to comfort, there to guide, there to refresh, there to give rest. And sometimes the restoration comes through those times. I was meditating upon that last verse, I was thinking of this. And I think I have some authority to say this, in as much that I've been in the Lord's work for over 30 years now, but sometimes, you know, we say things to people and we don't take time to think, are they suffering from something? We're maybe harsh in our comments towards them. And they're going through a severe trial that only they know about. It's come very forcibly to my own heart in this past week that not only do I need to know what to say from a pulpit, but I need to know how to say. And it's the same when we're in conversation with others. We're good, aren't we, at sympathizing when we hear about somebody's trial or trouble. But I wonder, do we take time to consider that they may be going through a trial, time of real darkness and gloom in that valley, and they're suffering in a way that we know nothing about? Because not everybody bears their heart on their sleeve. May the Lord help us to consider these words. Looking for restoration? The Lord is able to lead you there. May you be faithful in looking to the Lord and in relying on the Lord for His guidance. And remember, no matter how great the trial, how difficult the road, how dark the circumstance, the Lord is there to protect.